I wanted to get you in because last week we had the police chief for Bozeman, Jim Veldkamp, in studio, and we were talking about, obviously, ICE is a big topic right now, and the Bozeman Police Department had posted about their policy and the city's policy in regards to ICE. So I had a bunch of people going, hey, you're going to have the sheriff on to talk about it with him. So here you are. So I appreciate you coming in. What is the policy as far as the sheriff's department when it comes to ICE here locally?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, ICE are all of our federal partners. We just believe that it's our policy that we have a relationship with them. We want to know exactly, you know, what it is they're doing. We contact them routinely. We work with them routinely. Now, it's important to understand that there are separations in our job duties. Their job is to enforce immigration rules or laws. And so on, our job is to work with the state laws and all those kind of things. What you don't want is always blurring those lines. A good example of that would be there are a lot of people that might be able to be investigated by the IRS for tax evasion. You don't want the sheriff's deputies going out there investigating tax evasion. That is a line, and that's someone else's job. The IRS does that, and they have an enforcement unit that comes down and investigates those. If they were to come down here and do something, we would help them if they needed help to go inside or do whatever, you know, that case was. If they wanted us to protect the outside while they did the inside, that's what our job is. And so it's important to recognize that we don't want to blur the lines between people's jurisdictions. The other piece of that is with all the immigration laws that are out there, that would be an entirely consuming or, you know, time consuming event. It's not like there's just one law about being, you know, being here in the country illegally. People go to training for their entire career. It's an entire just division of the federal government that works those cases, right? And so at the local level, we don't have the time or the manpower to know all of those federal laws that relate specific to immigration. So you have the professionals do that who know what those laws are.
So I didn't know that it worked this way. The police chief last week said, so they arrest somebody. They bring them to the jail. The jail's run by the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. So they're done at that point.
Correct.
Does that bring you, the sheriff's department, into this at that point?
Yeah, of course. So we have what's called the 287G program at the detention center. So we have there's two pieces to the 287G program. One is a warrant service officer, and then the other half of that would be like a deputization or a task force officer positions. The sheriff's office 287G is specific to the warrant officer program. So when someone comes into the detention center, say they picked up on a DUI, they can't ID them, they don't have a social security number, et cetera. They try to book them in, they can't. Those are red flags that gets notified to immigration. ICE starts looking at that to see if this person is here legally or not. And so the person still has to have a bond for his DUI, but then ICE might say, you know what, we've determined this person is illegal. And so they put a detainer on them. Once the person bonds out, then the detainer takes effect for 48 hours. That means if they bond out 48 hours later, we hold them for 48 hours on this detainer. The jail's 287G programs allows our person to serve that detainer warrant that holds them for those 48 hours. If ICE comes down in those 48 hours to pick them up, then they go off into their process, the due process piece of that, where they go see a judge. And get to, you know, whether they get deported or not. If ICE does not show up in those 48 hours, then we would have to release them because the detainer is only good for 48 hours. The warrant service program that we are involved in means that an ICE agent doesn't have to drive from Helena or Sunburst, Montana, down here and serve the warrant on the person for the detainer and then drive away. Our person can serve the warrant.
So just so I'm clear, though, when you're saying when they bond out, that's when the 48 hours begins.
That's correct.
Okay. What do you think the percentage is of people that are on an ICE hold at the jail actually get picked up by ICE?
Sure.
Is it most of them?
Yeah, pretty much all of them. We had one recently that didn't, but the ICE agents were not in town. They were in Minneapolis, obviously. So, but for the most part, almost anyone that has a detainer, ICE has come down and picked up. Border Patrol is willing to help them with that. So if ICE is unable, Border Patrol oftentimes will come down and do that for them. So we currently have 6 in our detention facility that are being held on local charges and have an ICE detainer on them. And so if they were to bond out or if their case gets adjudicated, so they say they get found not guilty of whatever the crime is that they were in there for, once they're adjudicated, then they might be released and that detainer would take effect.
So again, as the sheriff's department, it's ICE who's doing the investigation into whether somebody who has been picked up for a crime is illegal or not. You guys are not doing that.
Right. Yeah. So the ICE has a process for that. And, you know, you can, we can reach out to them and say, this is what we have. And they can go through their processes to find out. They've actually got a fairly sophisticated system to try and figure out who's legal, who's not legal. It doesn't matter, you know, what country they're from. There's rules behind all of that.
What does the law say here locally or in Montana? Can you ask somebody if they're if they haven't done anything? Somebody just, I don't know, for whatever reason, walking down the road, can you ask them, hey, are you here illegally?
No, you know, we don't have the authority to do that. In many ways, it's a lot just like anything else. Like we don't just go out and ask people if they've, you know, are you committed this crime or not?
Right.
I mean, we have to have reasonable suspicion to start to engage those things. So there's rules as to what allows us to go forward in an investigation or not to.
I think there's a lot of people out there, though, that think or want the, you know, local law enforcement to do that. But again, if you haven't committed any crime, there's no reason for law enforcement to be asking you those questions.
Right. And the issue is like, so, you know, what's making you think that they might be here illegally? Is it just their skin color? Is it just their lack of being able to speak English? And those are not causes, you know, or reasons that you can ask those kind of questions.
Unless they've committed some sort of a crime.
If they've started to commit some kind of crime, our job is to investigate that crime. If we can't identify them, say they, you know, their IDs are not state issued. They have no ID. Their IDs don't make sense. You know, their name is not something that's matching what we dealt with them before, same vehicle. There's a lot of different things. If things aren't adding up, we can continue our investigation and try to figure out what's going on.
Any idea, ballpark figure, percentage-wise, of how many people you stop out there that don't have a driver's license, that don't have an ID of some sort?
You know, it's not uncommon for people to have forgotten their driver's license at home. That's one piece. But if someone gives their name and date of birth and the state that their driver's license is from, we can find, you know, whether or not they have one or not. If we have also systems that allow us to see what kind of history they've had with driving problems or criminal behavior. So there's a lot of different systems that we have that can help us identify somebody, but it's kind of hard to do on the side of the road at times.
You know what? I forgot my license the other night. I left my wallet at home and we went to basketball practice. And I was wondering, am I illegal at that point? Like if you're driving, is that breaking the law? If you don't physically have your license?
You are supposed to have your driver's license on you when you're driving.
At all times.
Well, when you're driving, yes.
Okay. I was just asking. That didn't really happen. Sheriff Dan Springer in studio with us. There's been a lot going on with ICE, and we had the police chief, Jim Veldkamp, on with us last week from Bozeman, so we thought we'd get... Because you guys are under different rules, right? Bozeman police are under different rules than the county and the sheriff's department.
You know, in many ways, we're under different rules, and in many ways, we're under the same rules. So our jurisdiction is a lot broader. Their jurisdiction is a little narrower.
Yeah. Do you do less, like... You know, pulling people, less traffic violations than, say, a police department would do?
You know, over the years, we probably do fewer in a year. We have as much, you know, authority to do it, but you can pretty much follow anyone in the city and find a traffic violation within seconds. So it's just, there's a lot more opportunities when you're in the city following someone versus out in the county.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we got probably a new audit. We turn over constantly here in the morning. So I just want to go over, which I think is an important point, and one that he made last week about how the jail system works when it comes to ICE. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, if I got this right, when someone is arrested and goes to the jail, it's ICE that does the background check to determine if they're illegal, not the sheriff's department.
Right. So, well, in a way. So we start a booking process. Someone has to get booked in. And for that, we run fingerprints. We do, social security numbers, all that stuff to try to make sure that we have the identification of the person appropriate or properly. In that process, if something's not making sense, then there's flags made to ICE, and at which point immigration starts to look into whether the person is here legally or not.
Because again, people are being arrested for something, a crime they committed, not because they were illegal, because at that point you don't know.
That's correct. And you know, from a local law enforcement standpoint, we don't just arrest someone for being here illegally. That's just not the role of us. And now there are times where there may be a warrant that's issued out, those kind of things that agencies can, if it's a criminal warrant, obviously we can arrest on that. If there's other warrants, there's administrative and otherwise, that's not something that we can arrest on. But ICE or Border Patrol, or actually the Highway Patrol, because they do have some what they call task force agents who where they are actually able to enforce some of those laws. But you know, a lot of that has to do with, do you have the time and do you have the manpower to go ahead and be a part of that task force group? And the state of Montana or the Highway Patrol, they do have a 287G and they're part of that task force program.
But again, this is all determined after they're arrested, right? Not before.
Can be. In the case of the Highway Patrol, they actually have the authority, because they are considered the 287G and they're on the task force officer position, they actually have the authority to do the immigration laws as well.
So I had a neighbor tell me the other day that he was talking with some local law enforcement people here, and he said that we have
Trinidad Aragua, or TDA is the easiest way to say it.
He said that he was told that we have them in the community here. Is that true?
There are gang members or identified gang members in this community, absolutely.
Do you know who they are? And if you do, can you arrest them for being part of that?
Cannot arrest someone for maybe having an association, but there are a number of people that we know that we have identified. They're self-reporting. Sometimes they are through a process. Maybe they've been contacted here locally. Information gets sent to, you know, some of these other partners. They start doing an investigation. They have whole groups that are set up to determine whether someone was a part of these, gangs in their prior life or wherever they're living before. They have systems set up to actually investigate that. There's a lot of noise out there about, you know, the government just guesses on these things. It's just not true. They actually are doing significant amounts of investigation to determine someone's background and whether or not they were a member of a gang or affiliated with particular gangs. They want to know, and they actually spend a considerable amount of time investigating that prior to them actually then being picked up. So in those types of cases, yes, those are ones that ICE or Border Patrol or other places are looking to pick up, and they may need our assistance in those cases. What they'll do is Border Patrol would come down or ICE would come down. If they're targeting a particular individual, watch for that person and then make their contact and then make the arrest. Our involvement in that typically is the safety aspect of that, making sure that the outside doesn't affect the inside. So if they're inside doing, arresting someone out of the home, we want to make sure that they're able to do that without being interfered with.
Should we, is that something we should be concerned with living here? I mean, when I heard that, I was like, wow, I got a family, I got a kid. Like, that makes me, and me personally, like, it makes me a little nervous.
You know, there's also plenty of people that are U.S. citizens that are parts of, you know, the Serranos and all these other gangs that are, you know, down in California or here in Montana that are now living here. There's a lot of individual gang members. The nice thing is we don't have a whole lot of organized gangs here. We don't have organized gangs here in Gallatin County. We have kind of one-offs or small groups. So should you be concerned? My answer is no, not at this time. I mean, obviously you should be aware of your surroundings and paying attention to what's going on. Your kids need to be aware, but don't hide these things from them. Make sure that they understand what's out there, what are some of the concerns and problems. But I don't believe that people need to be living a life of being scared.
Can you explain the whole warrant thing? Because I'm hearing, you know, some people are saying they're, you know, ICE is busting down doors and they don't have a warrant. But it's my understanding that the warrant that ICE has, it doesn't come from a judge. It's a different kind of warrant that's issued by somebody else.
Yeah, and I don't have enough of that information to really get too much into it. But what you're talking about is administrative warrants. And administrative warrants have been deemed legal through the court system, through the, you know, Supreme Court, and they've been used throughout all of the administrations, the Obama administration, the Trump administration.
Yeah, this isn't new.
This is nothing new. This is something that has been going on for, you know, for quite some time. They have been deemed legal. So those scenarios, again, I don't know enough about the administrative warrants to like describe you how they get those, but they have been around a while and they have been deemed legal.
So as we wrap this up, is there anything you want to tell the community, anything that you would like them to know about this particular topic and what's going on?
Yeah, you know, as far as this immigration stuff goes, I recognize and I can empathize with some of the people who are concerned about these kind of things or are thinking about it too often. Recognize that Gallatin County, we have not seen this kind of problem. There's a lot of rumors out there. There are little groups that are trying to spread these, you know, the false information. We are paying attention to them. We are following them, but they are definitely very active in following and sending out false information. So yeah, that's absolutely a thing. So But on the same side, we are pay attention to your surroundings as far as if you're concerned about gang members, those sort of things. But the sheriff's office here, our job is to make sure that we are enforcing our local laws, our state laws. We are here to protect your constitutional rights to either protest or all of your constitutional rights. So that is our job. We are your friends, your neighbors. We actually work with you. Our people live in your community. They know this community. Please communicate with us. I think when we stop talking to one another, that's when problems occur.
Hey, last question for you. You mentioned protests. So if there's a protest in Bozeman, that's in the county. Does that any jurisdiction for you at all, or is that strictly for Bozeman Police?
You know, we could go down and do something with that if need be, but the city of Bozeman, typically they manage that themselves. If they ask us for help or if they need extra manpower, we would help them. But for the most part, that's on them.
Is it like if somebody's doing a protest, could they spit on an ICE officer? Could they throw bottles of water at them?
And all of that would be considered assault. Those would be crimes that you'd be arrested for.
Those are okay. And that would be something, because I mean, they're not being arrested for that in Minneapolis.
You know, it's hard to know without being boots on the ground, know exactly what's going on. Right. And I agree. What I'm watching, there's a lot of behavior that people are not being held accountable for on probably all sides. Right. So I think that here we have not seen that. Even our protests that we've seen are very civilized. The people have been, very calm. They're just doing their thing, making their voice heard. That is a constitutional right. And you are protected from that.
All right, Sheriff Dan Springer, appreciate your time on short notice. Thanks thanks for doing that.
Sure. Can I give a quick plug for our Public Safety Academy coming up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so our Public Safety Academy, which is open to all citizens, it's a Citizens Academy. It's about 8 weeks, and it starts in end of March. And it'll be Tuesday evening from 6 to 9. If you're interested, reach out to the sheriff's office. What we do, you'll learn all about the work that the sheriff's office does, search and rescue, detention center, all of that. People really, really enjoy the program, and they are usually asking for more weeks by the time this ends. So if you're interested in that, let us know. Tuesday, 6 to 9 for about 8 weeks. I think you'd really enjoy it.
I did the police one here in Bozeman. I would love to do that one. I thought it was fascinating.
Come join us. It is quite fascinating, and you get to see kind of behind the curtains as to what's going on.
How many people can be in that?
We typically take anywhere from 20 to 35. We like to keep ours fairly small so we can have real, kind of more intimate conversation, more intimate knowledge of one another, what's going on.
All right, Sheriff Dan Springer, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.